brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we continue with the book of Exodus and the story of Moses and his attempts to lead God's people. Moses is one of those men that I really want to meet when I get to heaven and hear what it was really like for him, because he went through a great deal. This is the beginning of chapter 33, beginning with verse 7. The tent, which was called the meeting tent, Moses used to pitch at some distance away outside the camp. Anyone who wished to consult the Lord would go to this meeting tent outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, the people would all rise and stand at the entrance of their own tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses entered the tent, the column of cloud would come down and stand at its entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. On seeing the column of cloud stand at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise and worship at the entrance of their own tents. The Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as one man speaks to another. Moses would then return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, would not move out of the tent. Moses stood there with the Lord and proclaimed his name, Lord. Thus the Lord passed before him and cried out, "The Lord, the Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and rich in kindness and fidelity, continuing his kindness for 1,000 generations, and forgiving wickedness and crime and sin, yet not declaring the guilty guiltless, but punishing children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation for their father's wickedness." Moses at once bowed down to the ground in worship, and then he said, "If I find favor with you, Lord, do come along in our company. This is indeed a stiff-necked people. Yet pardon our wickedness and our sins, and receive us as your own." It took a great deal of courage and also a great deal of humility for Moses to pray that way. And I think we should pay attention to this prayer. If I find favor with you, Lord, do come along in our company. Do you invite God into every aspect of your life? Welcome, Lord, my Savior and my Redeemer. Walk with me, Lord, today. Be with me, Lord. Help me to enter more deeply into your kingdom, Lord, that I might walk with you. Help me, Lord. Aid me. Because, brothers and sisters, as you listen to these readings over the past number of days, what God wants to do is transform us so that we reflect more of his image and likeness. And part of the way that happens is by choosing to accept his priorities, what's most important in our lives, what's most important in the world. And we'll talk about that more. But take a look at what motivates you day in and day out. Is it God's priorities? Is it what God wants to do in our lives today? Or is it me, as I say, the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I? Who do I worship? Do I worship God? Or do I worship myself? If I worship God, then I want his way, his plan, and I seek it. And I'm willing to make the sacrifices to accept his plan over my own desires. That's called conversion, that I turn. We all turn away from self toward the Lord. That's conversion. And this is one of the most major ways we can get to the point where we can say, "Lord, not just in this situation, but in my whole life, I want your will. Help me to want it more. Help me to want it until it's what dominates my life, the desire to know your will and to carry it out." Moses stayed there with the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights without eating any food or drinking any water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. This is part of God's covenant with us. "You follow these, and I will be your God, and I will lead you to eternal happiness." That's not a fairy tale. the reality. What choices are we making? Psalm 103, the Lord is kind and merciful. The Lord is kind and merciful. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes. If he did, brothers and sisters, we'd all be annihilated today. We can't make ourselves holy. It's in choosing God and the means that God gives us to follow him. It's in making those choices that put us in a place where we can receive the abundance of his grace. And the Lord himself, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. To fear him means to reverence him, to put him first. And the gospel for today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 36 through 43. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil." So you get one image here of the world, and it's a very accurate one. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear. So the question is, do we have ears to hear? Do we really have ears to hear? That is my mind and my heart sincerely fixed on God so that I can receive the light he wants to give me, the promptings, the inspirations? Am I listening? You know, a relationship with somebody isn't just checking in with them maybe once a day, if that, or at least maybe once a week. That's not a relationship. And God wants to have the deepest, most intimate relationship with each one of us. That doesn't mean we need to carry out our responsibilities, but it does mean that we can train ourselves to periodically stop at certain times during the day and just say, "Lord, I want to do your will. Am I doing your will right now? Or is there anything you want to say to me right now? Is there any direction you want to give me? Is there any inspiration I want to receive, Lord?" It's that spirit, that attitude. And it's not just gimme, gimme. Because when God gives us inspirations or directions, it's in order that we might serve his will, his purpose. But we have to be attentive. We have to learn to be attentive. And the only way that we can do that, because we're human beings with human responsibilities here, right here on this earth, and our minds are occupied, but we can carve out at least 2 minutes every few hours and say, "Lord, here's your servant. What do you want of me?" And if you don't sense anything, hear anything, then keep right on doing what you're doing. But ask him. Ask him to show you the way that he wants you to go. Because just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels. and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear. You have ears, brothers and sisters. You can hear my words. But do you have that inner ear working where you understand the meaning of the words? God wants to teach us by his Holy Spirit. The radio program is one way, but we also have to exercise our own initiative. Lord, teach me. What should I read? Keep a copy of the catechism near you. Keep a copy of the scripture right there in your hand all the time. Turn to the Lord for wisdom. Ask him to help you. Ask people that you trust. Learn. We need to be in a position of learning, not, oh yeah, I'm all done with school. I don't need any more books. I don't need any more learning. We need to learn what is most important. And what is most important is God and what God wants. What God wants from our hearts. The way in which God wants to shape us and move us. You know, I think many times our faith is so weak that we don't even believe God notices us. When in reality, God knows every detail at every moment of our lives. Every detail at every moment. But he will never push himself into your face, so to speak. He invites, he offers, but he looks to us to make the decision to say, Lord, I want you to have your proper place in my life. I want to be led by you. I want to learn from you. I want to serve your people. I want to be a sign of your presence. Ask the Lord to fan into a flame the desires that he's put in your heart that may be cold or seemingly dead right now. Ask him, Lord, strengthen me. Lord, fan into a flame the gifts that were given to me at my baptism and at confirmation. Fan them into a flame, Lord, that I might serve you, that I might follow you. Because there is not one of us wants to hear these words. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the fiery furnace where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. You don't want to be there. You don't want to end up there. And as long as you desire to follow him and repent when you fail, you won't end up there. But brothers and sisters, we want to do more than that. We want to run in the ways of God. We want to be signs of the kingdom to come. We want to show people how God loves his people. May God give you the grace to yield fully to him. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.